Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. I am your host, Kylie Gable, and the chances of me being tied up and or gagged this episode are very remote. Hope you enjoyed our little theater last week with Shayla and Mistress DJ, who were also on here to promote the new Candy Apple Hotline on Night Flirt. Three separate words, and it's been doing great. I am really excited about it, and we all are. So definitely between the two of them, they've managed to keep it up and running, I think, 24 hours straight since it's been on. I don't think it's been off. And definitely please check that out if you're on Night Flirt or if you're just curious. They are wonderful to talk to, as I've been lucky enough to have the experience when I haven't had a gag in my mouth. Anyway, today we're going to be doing the fourth part of the Slow Burn Feminizing Her Ex story from Pamela Harlow, and she does a great job on it. And I have to say, she's really come into her own as a writer. I liked her from the beginning, but what she was doing for me in 2020 or 2021, whatever that was, and what she's doing now, it is so good. Like I said, part two of the series, I think, might have been my favorite book I've read in this genre that I haven't written. And part three, part four, all those are really just, you know, it's a solid four-part series. And her next book, I don't know if there's going to be an audio for it or not, called Boardroom Bitch, is also great. So definitely, you know, I hope you're enjoying these audios. I've gotten some great feedback. One of you actually said that she could read the phone book and you'd be happy with that. So the only thing is, I know there was a little error on part two that she's looking into where there were some like pauses and stuff. If you do listen and you do catch something like that, please let me know so I can fix it for everybody. Pamela's audios have always been great. And technically great. I've never had any issues, you know, with static or anything like that. So I totally left that one slip by. And I know, as the, you know, final say, producer, editor, whatever you want to say, that's on me. So anyway, without further ado, because I've 2 minutes and 40 seconds. It's a very long intro for me. Without further ado, here is part four of Slow Burn, Feminizing Her Ex by Pamela Harlow.
Slow Burn Part 4, Feminizing Her Ex, by Pamela Harlow and Kylie Gable. 1. The morning after the night before, Amelia and Grace awoke entwined. Amelia's bare legs were wrapped around Grace's, and her head rested just above her breast. It was Grace who opened her eyes first, looking down at her friend. She silently wondered how they'd ended up like that. Just a few months ago, before her relationship with Baker, their relationship had been purely platonic. There'd never even been a hint of any kind of sexual attraction. Hell, Grace had never considered herself capable of being attracted to a girl. Then, when Grace started the relationship with Baker, there was no doubt her friendship with Amelia had suffered. She'd tried to ignore it, but she'd seen the jealous glances, the secret scowls, the whispering with Hazel. What had changed and why? As these questions buzzed around her head, her own thoughts gave her no space to work them out as she remembered how they'd left Baker hog-tied. Grace felt a pang of guilt. She wondered if he'd managed to have any sleep. Sleep was so important, she reminded herself. She didn't want to torture her boyfriend. She just wanted to have some fun with him. Aware of changes in Grace's breathing, Amelia opened one eye slowly. She saw Grace's breast, just centimetres away from her eye, and smiled. With her left hand, Amelia reached up and rested it on Grace's quickly hardening nipple. Grace felt a throb in her clitoris, then another pang of guilt. What about her boyfriend, her hog-tied boyfriend, in the next room? "Morning, beautiful," whispered Amelia. Grace rested her hand on top of Amelia's, putting more pressure on her erect nipple. "Morning," she whispered. There were a few moments' silence before Grace had to ask Amelia, the one who always seemed to know what to do, "What next?" Amelia lifted her head and looked into her friend's eyes. It was true, she was beautiful. Her blue eyes were piercing, and even first thing in the morning, her skin looked flawless. She didn't know how much she fancied her, really. She did somewhat, but would she be so desperate to sleep with her if it weren't part of her revenge plan? Probably not. However, her lust for revenge was so strong that her entire body hummed with excitement as she sensed Grace becoming more and more turned on by the two of them being naked together, just next door to Baker. "What next?" Amelia echoed Grace's question flirtatiously. She stroked her hair, then her face, before kissing her softly on the lips. "I think you know what you want to do," Amelia said. It was Grace's turn to blush now. "Amelia," she spoke, no longer caring to whisper, "what about Baker?" Amelia struggled to stifle her laugh. "Baker," she said, "why, he can watch, of course." Grace shook her head. "I don't know," she said. "I don't know if he'd..." "Shh." Amelia kissed Grace again. Grace's hand ran down Amelia's naked back and rested on her buttocks. As their kiss grew more intense, their bodies pressed together and they both moaned as their hard nipples brushed against each other. "I'm so wet," whispered Amelia. "Do you want to feel?" Grace did want to feel Amelia's wetness. She reached down and moaned with her own arousal as she felt the tangible evidence of her friends. "What do we do?" she asked again. "I want you." As she said those words, she guided Amelia's hand down to her own throbbing clitoris and soaking vulva. "I know you do," said Amelia, smiling confidently as she fingered her friend gently. "Come on," she said. "We need to go and see your boyfriend." Amelia and Grace kissed again, a long, passionate kiss, before they rose from the sofa they'd slept on. Hazel hadn't left her bedroom yet, so together they agreed to be daring and enter Baker's room as they were, naked, from head to toe and as hot as they could be for one another. Grace didn't know that Amelia had already snuck into the room in the night, removing Baker's blindfold in anticipation of this moment. "Just remember," Amelia said to Grace as they walked towards the guest room, hand in hand, "you do what you want to do, and also remember, guys love watching girls have sex. You know that, right?" Grace giggled. "That's true, isn't it?" "You bet it is," said Amelia, grinning wickedly. She was certain her ex-boyfriend wouldn't enjoy watching this, and that was going to make it all the sweeter. 2. Baker's eyes were open long before the two girls entered his new bedroom. He didn't know when the blindfold had been removed, but it was obvious that one of the girls had been keen for him to wake up and see exactly where he was. As the curtains had not been closed, he rose with the sun at around 6 a.m. He was parched. He prayed that someone would get up soon and bring him water. It was just seconds into his wakefulness that he realised the extent of what was occurring. Not only was he hogtied in a strange bedroom he'd never entered before, but he realised that this room had been made up for him, for the feminine version of him. He looked around in horror. The open curtains were pink, velvet, matching the pink bed on which he lay. The covers on the bed were also pink, and there was a blanket beside him that he wished was on top of him, also pink. There was a fluffy rug on the floor of deep violet. The rug was the only thing he could imagine Hazel owning prior to this, so he knew the rest had been purpose-bought. He screwed up his face as he remembered Hazel talking about how busy she had been with a project. Now he knew what it was. The walls were also painted a pale pink, and there was an exposed rail filled, absolutely packed, with girly dresses, nightgowns, and hanging lingerie. He saw a chest of drawers beside it. This was white, not pink, and he guessed that there were probably more clothes or panties or something in there. On top of the chest of drawers were makeup bags and mirrors, and beside it was a large tray filled with high-heeled shoes and sandals. Baker shivered in his nakedness beside the panties the girls had put him in, and once again looked longingly at the blanket that had been on him before. There was a time when he'd have turned his nose up at sleeping in something so princess-like, but right now it looked so appealing. He coughed again. Water. He needed water. When the door to his room opened, Baker turned to face it, hopefully. His jaw dropped, and a feeling of anger rose in his chest as he saw Grace and Amelia, hand in hand, walking towards him. They sat next to him on the bed, cuddling each other and shivering. "It's cold in here," said Amelia. "Shall we get into bed?" "Let's," said Grace, looking at her boyfriend but not knowing what to say to him. "Are you okay?" she finally managed. Baker was dumbfounded. He wanted to tell her that no, he wasn't okay. He wanted to ask for water. He wanted to ask her what the fuck this was all about and whether they could just go back to normal. But he said nothing, as Amelia's glare warned him to behave. "I'm okay," he finally managed, before shuddering violently. "Here," said Grace, throwing the blanket over him. "Thank you," he said. "Thank you, mistress," corrected Amelia. Baker looked at Grace, who shrugged. Was she his mistress now, then? Were they both his mistresses? As though reading his mind, Amelia confirmed. "You can now address Grace, myself and Hazel as mistress." Baker nodded. "Yes, mistress," he replied fearfully. "It's nice in here, isn't it?" said Amelia. "Wow, look at all the clothes. Aren't you a spoilt girl, Bee?" Baker could only continue to agree. "Yes, mistress." "Hazel has done amazingly," said Grace with admiration. "I had no idea, did you?" Amelia didn't confirm or deny. She hadn't known that Hazel had gone to such lengths, no. However, she knew better than to let Baker in on any knowledge that might reduce how much control she had over him. She stared straight into his scared eyes as she put her hand around his naked girlfriend, who lay under the covers beside her. "What do you think, Bee?" she asked. "Is it what you always dreamed of, having your own princess bedroom like this?" Baker looked around the room again. It was like what he'd imagined girls' rooms to be like before he'd ever actually been in one. The rooms of girls he'd actually been in were mostly not even pink. This was super feminine craziness, he thought. He couldn't stop looking at Amelia, who continued to stare straight into his eyes. He could tell she was enjoying herself. What an evil witch she was. How had she done this? She seemed to have control over everyone and everything. He looked at the two of them in bed, right in front of him, and remembered that they kissed last night. Now they were naked. What else had happened? What else was going to happen? Once again, he remembered his thirst. "Please," he said weakly. "I'm really thirsty." Amelia raised her eyebrows. "I'm quite thirsty too," she said. "Are you, Grace?" Grace nodded. "Shall I go and make coffees?" "Are you sure, baby?" Amelia addressed Grace with Baker's pet word, concealing her smirk but knowing that Baker knew it was there. "Absolutely," said Grace, jumping out of bed, clearly a little uncomfortable. "Back in a minute." With Grace gone, Amelia could taunt Baker once again. "Baker," she said in a low, measured voice, "I'm going to have sex with your girlfriend, and there's nothing you can do about it." 3. When Grace returned with a tray of coffees, she placed it at the top of the drawers. "Wow," she said, "there's so much makeup." Grace picked up various shades of lipstick and tested them on the back of her hand. She was still naked, and Amelia and Baker just stared as she had fun with the different shades. "Oh, sorry," she laughed, suddenly remembering herself. She passed Amelia a coffee, then frowned as she stood in front of the hog-tied Baker with his.
Hey everybody, you're listening to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. We'll be right back.
Kylie got an email from Spotify last month warning him about adult content on the podcast. For now, there is no problem, but we do have to be careful about what we put on the free podcast so that we can stay podcasting. Scenes that might have been allowed before might be a bit dangerous for us. It's one of the reasons that the premium podcast is so important. Because you subscribe to listen, we don't have to worry about content limits, so we can include much more titillating scenes. Premium subscribers get the entire audio, and not just a clip. That includes all the good parts, and the shows don't just disappear when we're done with them. There's something like 30 hours of content in the archives accessible when you subscribe. It's $15 a month, and we know that's not in everybody's budget, but if you're interested, check out the Premium Feminization Boudoir on Spotify or check out the link in this show's description.
I guess we'll have to sort of feed at you, she said. She was cheery and seemingly not cold, so Grace stood in front of Baker and patiently allowed him to sip from the cup in his uncomfortable position. It was unbelievably humiliating for him, being treated in this way, but he was grateful for the warm liquid in his mouth and throat. "Thank you," he croaked, blushing furiously at the entire situation. He couldn't even drink by himself. He was completely hopeless. Why was this giving him an erection? An erection he couldn't hide, as he fell onto his side in the pink panties. Amelia noticed and her eyes lit up. "Hey, Grace, have you seen this?" She gestured at Baker's cock. Grace giggled. "I told you, guys love watching two girls," Amelia said. Putting her cup down, Grace returned into bed. Baker lay on his side at the foot, hog-tied and horrified, as his girlfriend and ex-girlfriend began to nakedly kiss. This time, they were sober. There was no question of whether or not anything was meant by it. They clearly wanted to fuck each other, he realised as their hands ran down one another's bodies and both girls let out moans of arousal. Baker could do nothing other than watch as his ex-girlfriend licked Grace's nipples, making her gasp with delight, before going down on her right in front of him. He heard moans of pleasure like he'd never heard before coming from his girlfriend and felt more humiliated as Amelia brought her to climax quicker than he ever had. Not only that, but after Grace's first orgasm, she had another and then a third. He didn't even know that was possible. It had never happened with him. "You're amazing," Grace whispered breathlessly to Amelia as Amelia's head rose from between her legs. "Oh my God," Grace continued, "you are so good." Amelia just smiled, then kissed Grace again. Baker watched as Grace's hand went between Amelia's legs and began to move rhythmically. Amelia moaned loudly, then Grace's tongue ran all the way down Amelia's body. Soon, Grace's tongue was embracing Amelia's wetness and pleasuring her, as she'd done to Grace. Amelia gripped Grace's long hair as she was licked by her and gasped and moaned as she, too, came quickly and multiple times. Baker's arousal turned to helplessness as he couldn't even touch himself, never mind either of the girls. He was trapped, a forced spectator. He felt like he was in the Clockwork Orange. After their oral sex, the girls weren't done, seemingly insatiable, again, in a way Baker hadn't witnessed before. Grace straddled her friend. He watched in confusion, fascination and, of course, humiliation, as Grace rode Amelia, their clits rubbing together in a lesbian dance that grew faster and faster and faster. Amelia squeezed Grace's nipples, making her squeal, and they both looked so happy as they rose together to yet another climax. Baker saw expressions in both of the girls that he'd never seen anything like, and the sounds they were making The effortlessness with which they fucked made him feel inadequate. As the girls continued to fuck right in front of him, Baker heard movement in the apartment. Hazel was awake. In false hope, he imagined her walking in, putting a stop to all this, telling them all to get out. There had been some kind of mistake. This room wasn't for him. It was for her sister, cousin, mother, anyone but him. Hazel didn't enter the room, and Grace and Amelia still had a couple more orgasms in them before they resigned their passion in exhaustion. When they'd finished, they lay in each other's arms and began to look together at Baker. "I've never had so many orgasms," Grace said giddily. "Girls really are better than boys." "Of course they are," said Amelia, laughing. "Boys are hopeless." 4. After several more minutes of lying together, with Amelia silently taunting Baker as she ran her hands all over his girlfriend, Amelia stood up from the bed. "I hope you don't mind, B," she said in a casual, matter-of-fact tone. "I'm borrowing a nightdress." Amelia opened one of the drawers and confirmed Baker's suspicions. They, too, were filled with lingerie, nightdresses, and even more clothes. Amelia pulled a magenta satin nightdress over her body and smiled at Grace. "Want one? I'm sure B won't mind you wearing one." Grace laughed, looking guiltily at Baker. "Yes, please," she said. Amelia threw her one, very similar to her own. "Okay," she said, "I'll be back. I think Hazel's awake." When Amelia left the room, Grace and Baker looked at each other. There was so much to say, so little to say, and nobody knew where to start or what to do. "Grace," Baker finally managed. "Are you still my girlfriend?" Grace laughed. "Of course I am, silly." She kissed him semi-convincingly before adding, "And you're mine." Baker shook his head. "But I'm not really a girl, Grace." "Shh." Grace kissed him again, this time with obvious condescension. "It doesn't matter, baby," she said. "It doesn't matter." As she began to untie him, Hazel and Amanda's voices rumbled in the kitchen. They couldn't make out their words, but they could tell by the rhythm that their conversation was excited and animated. "Thank you. Thank you so much," Baker gushed, as his girlfriend released him free from the uncomfortable rope. "I think I've forgotten how to use my legs." Grace watched as Baker stood uncertainly in his pink panties and stretched his legs out one by one. There was a little redness where the rope had been around his ankles and around his wrists, but Grace surprised herself by feeling no guilt at all about this. She wondered if she was becoming desensitized, but soon reasoned with herself that it couldn't be that, as she was actually feeling very pleasantly sensitized by the situation. Although she was truly sexually satisfied after her first lesbian experience, which she hadn't even processed yet, she became aroused again as she watched her boyfriend realise, through the release of his discomfort, new discomforts. "We need to get you sorted," she said. "Let's find your outfit for the day." Together, Baker and Grace regarded the enormous collection of clothes. Grace had no idea how Hazel had acquired all of this. She made a mental note to ask her. "Well," she said, laughing, "it looks like we're going to be pretty in pink." Grace chose a new pair of panties, turning her nose up as Baker took off the ones he'd worn all night, and a tight-fitting, strapless pink dress with built-in cups. She rifled through the drawers to find some fillets for the cups and threw them all on the unmade bed. She noticed Baker jigging around a little, unable to stay still. "What's the matter?" "I need the toilet," Grace laughed sharply. Baker hadn't heard her do that before. She looked around the room and then back at Baker, fully naked at this point. "Well, let's go to the toilet then," she said, opening the door. "But Hazel has seen a dick before, you know," said Grace. "Besides, yours is easy to miss." "What?" Grace didn't repeat herself. She remained stood at the door, calmly gesturing for Baker to follow her. He had no real choice. With desperation, he ran ahead in front of her, rushing to the toilet. This time, thankfully, nobody was in there. When he exited the bathroom, all three girls stood looking at him. Hazel and Amelia had their phones ready, taking photos and laughing. When he tried to cover his penis, Grace held both his hands firmly before leading him back to the bedroom. When they reached the bedroom, Grace pointed at the new panties, dress and fillets that lay on the bed. "I need to go and talk with the other girls," she said, emphasising the word other. "Now, I need you to be dressed, wearing appropriate matching shoes that I'm trusting you to choose yourself, and have a full face of makeup before 10 a.m. Do you hear me?" Baker nodded. He looked around the room anxiously, trying to make out where the shoes were, where the makeup was, what full face meant. "Good," said Grace. Theatrically, she held up a large key and exited the room. Loudly, she locked the door. 5. Hazel, Grace and Amelia sat around Hazel's kitchen table. Hazel wore a long black satin dressing gown, whilst Amelia and Grace wore the short pink nightdresses they'd taken from Baker's new bedroom. "So," said Hazel, "you two seem to be getting on better than you were." She lit a cigarette and smirked, blowing smoke rings into the air. Grace and Amelia looked at each other. Although they'd enjoyed themselves, they both knew it was as much about Baker as it was the two of them. Would they have done what they did if he hadn't been there? Probably not. However, it was true what Hazel said. They really were getting on well. They had shared aims and were, for the first time in a long time, a team. They all were. "It's true," confirmed Amelia, "but Hazel, the three of us are in this together. I mean, what you've done there is amazing." "When? How?" Hazel laughed. "It really wasn't that much work," she said. "Besides, it was a labour of love, you know. I've had a blast." "I bet you have," Grace said. "But there are so many clothes. How did you get them all?" "Well," said Hazel, "many of them were gifted. I mean, I told quite a lot of people about the aim, that they were for a boy, that is, who really needs to be dressed as a girl." Hazel took great care over her words. This didn't achieve any kind of clarity for Amelia or Grace. However, it did mean that she didn't accidentally give away to Grace the fact that this was all really Amelia's revenge. Grace would never have gotten involved in Baker's feminization had she not believed he wanted it. The truth, as Amelia and Hazel both knew, was that he had no real choice. Stubbing out her cigarette, Hazel looked around the room. "It's filthy in here," she said suddenly. "I really need to clean." "No, you don't," Amelia gripped her arm. "Of course you don't. What's the point of having a live-in maid if you're going to clean yourself?" "What?" "Well, isn't that who the bedroom's for, your live-in maid? Why else would you have a room like that?" Hazel laughed. "I just thought it would be fun. A live-in maid?" "That's not a bad idea." "I think it's a great idea," Grace agreed, sipping her coffee dreamily and gazing at the ashtray. She'd never smoked. It hadn't appealed to her, but something about Hazel's cigarette had got her craving that slow, warm inhalation and exhalation. "What is she doing in there anyway?" said Hazel. "Oh," Grace replied, suddenly sitting up straight. "I've given her until 10 o'clock to get ready. She has fresh panties, a lovely dress to wear with fillets for the cups, and she's going to choose her own shoes and do her own makeup." "Wow," said Amelia, "that's daring. I wonder if she'll manage a decent job."
That was the fourth and final part of Slow Burn Feminizing Her Ex by Pamela Harlow. Depending on if you're listening to the premium or the free podcast, you got either a clip or the whole thing. And one thing about the premium podcast, because I always do like to promote it on here, one of the things about it is that people are always a little worried about what credit card charges are going to show up. And I don't want to tell anybody, hey, this is perfectly, you know, private. No one will ever know, because I don't want to be the one that gets you in trouble. However, what I can tell you is, if you do subscribe to the premium podcast, your bill will say Spotify. It will not say the Feminization Boudoir. So if it makes a difference, I just wanted to let you know that. Anyway, thank you so much for your support, regardless of which podcast you're listening to. And I will be back next week. I hope you will be too. Bye-bye.